full blown whatever.
Morning, Tom. Morning, Cheryl. Morning, Norman. Look at you, sling free, huh? Just in time for the big game.
2:30 in the morning.
That's great. That's awesome. Well, it must be working here. You started that on like Friday. Cheers. I didn't even need to see it. I already knew what you were thankful for. Luckily, it's not my handwriting. What's that? I think they are. Okay, we're good. We'll get them going. Everybody wants their lunch today, huh? Good morning, church. Welcome on this beautiful Sunday as we celebrate God's love and praise on Reign of Christ Sunday, as we remember that it is God who is in charge of all the wonderful things in our lives. A few announcements before we get started. I want to thank everybody who participated in our combined Sunday school class. Looked like it was a lot of fun, a great breakfast. Stick around after worship because you had your free breakfast. Now you get your free lunch for Advent Workshop. So we're going to have a lot of good different activities. At least four or five, a chance to decorate the church as well. So really, really great chance to help us get ready for the Christmas spirit as we get ready for the season of Advent next week. OMMC will be meeting here Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our next mission trip meeting to discuss plans for our mission to Trickle Bee Cafe in Milwaukee from July 4th to July 11th will be here Saturday, November 30th from 10 a.m. to 11. I'll be driving back from family Thanksgiving, but Pastor John Wallace will be here to lead that meeting. Next Sunday, please don't forget at 6 p.m., remember we have our Advent Communion service at Sharon, which is all of our Moravian churches worshiping together there at 6 p.m., a great opportunity to celebrate the season in a spirit of collegiality. And the week after, we will have our Village Love Feast at 2 p.m. At Shenbrunn Village. And after that, there will be a youth event in the church following the Love Feast for any of the kids interested. It's going to be very low-key, just the opportunity to eat some pizza, play some games in the fellowship hall, and do a few activities that Kim Yackey has set up from Dover. Does anybody else have any other announcements they want to share at this time? Danielle has a sign-up sheet for ushers and greeters. If you could please sign up for the rest of the month of December, we would greatly appreciate that. Linda. Okay. So get those poinsettia orders in. Yep. That's a great way to help, and as you said, a great gift, especially if you have Moravian friends or relatives who have moved away and are in an area where there's not a lot of Moravian stuff around. That's a great gift to give them. Please don't forget, next Sunday is a Youth Sunday as well, so the kids will have the opportunity to sit in the beanbags up front, and we'll have some fun activity in Fellowship Hall after worship for them. Does anybody else have any other announcements? All right, before we greet one another, we're going to go through our birthdays and anniversary. Remember, we will also have cake after worship. So our November anniversaries were Rick and Joyce Swaldo. Terry and Linda Bonnell, who celebrated their 50th anniversary. Birthdays, Barry Hun, Carol Fantine, Scott Nisley, Leslie Corns, Steve Pasquinelli, Don Schanhauer. McKenna Cannon's birthday is today. We already sang her happy birthday once. Her 21st birthday, so we'll make sure she's properly hydrated for worship today. See how red I can get her. And then Haley Smith's birthday as well. Let us join together and sing our birthday hymn together. Let us all rise as we join together and sing. You may remain standing as we join together in our watchword of the week this week. Our watchword this week comes from the 46th Psalm, the 10th verse. Let us say it together. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, choir. Please rise and join us together in the call to worship. God is our refuge and strength.
He is our present help in times of trouble.
God says, "Be still and know that I am God." Please remain standing as we join together to sing my dentist's favorite hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. I'll be here all week. Thank you.
Please turn to page 110 for our liturgy. We will start in the middle with the words. We give thanks to you, Redeemer God, for our Lord Jesus Christ, who came in quietness and humility, but who will come again with power and for all to see. Our Lord Jesus' coming is a two-edged sword. It comforts us, convinces us anew that your grace is beyond measure. Yet it also confronts us, compels us to recognize our own unrighteousness. Let us put aside our false pride, confess our sins, and receive your affirming love. Please be seated. Gracious Father, we confess.
Forgive us, O Lord, and let us fill us with spiritual power, so
Thanks be to God, who has loved us from the beginning, and who promises that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. Our thoughts. We believe that our Lord Jesus, who ascended into heaven after His resurrection, will come again in the same way.
The Lord Himself will come from heaven, the cloud of man, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord, and so we will be with the Lord forever.
When Christ returns, He will establish justice and righteousness in the earth. He will bring to fulfillment the kingdom of God, and He will reign as King of kings and Lord of lords.
And that day, in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and on the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
We believe the day of Christ's return will be one of rejoicing and vindication for God's people, but will also be a day of judgment for those who have rejected Christ's reign. We believe our loving God desires that none should perish, and so we ask to be empowered with zeal and humility to proclaim the word of truth in a world too often unaware of coming judgment.
Join.
Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, indeed by all the saints who have gone before us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Pray.
Christ, hope of the world, we ask that your Holy Spirit move among those who have yet to hear, and that their hearts may be softened and prepared for the message of the gospel. Christ, Lord of the Church,
we ask for help for your church to live as we truly are, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to you, who live to declare your praises. For you called us out of darkness into your wonderful light.
Seated.
Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of offering, a great reminder during this Thanksgiving season to remember about what we're giving, what we're grateful for, and especially as we hold Reign of Christ Sunday in our heart, we should think about what reigns in our heart. Is it gratitude or is it selfishness? Is it love or is it hatred? It should be the love, the compassion, and the gratitude that guides us in all times and all places. So let us now give to God with our tithes, offerings, and gifts.
Please rise.
Let us pray together.
Ruler of our hearts, there is so much in our world that divides us, separates us into groups and tribes. Help us all to come together as one world and bow down to the feet of our compassionate Savior. Amen.
You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer. In our prayers, we remember Janet West, who last week was scheduled to have a heart procedure and was not able to complete it due to a defect in one of the parts during the procedures. She's grateful not to have any side effects currently, but she will still need to have her valve replacement rescheduled in a couple weeks, so we continue to uplift Janet in prayer. For Linda Free, Marianne Creel's sister, who has stage 3 melanoma, we continue to pray for her, for her strength and recovery. For Daniel Johnson, he had a successful heart procedure done Monday in Kansas City and was home recuperating by Monday afternoon. He is Pastor Daryl and Chris Johnson's son. For Jeff Edwards, who had a successful heart cath procedure, but he did have a heart procedure this past week. So we were grateful for him. He had his procedure rescheduled a couple times, so he's very grateful to have that in and is very appreciative for all the prayers he's had. For Howie Stevens, we continue to pray for his strength and recovery as he remains in serious and critical condition. For Joyce Santo, she has entered hospice care. She's the organist at Sharon Moravian Church. I have prayers for the Irvin family. Shelley was hit by a car in New Philadelphia the other night, and her twin sister has cancer and is in hospice care. We'll definitely uplift them in prayer. Prayers for Jim Green, who is Jill Schaefer's brother, who is entering hospice care and continues to have many ailments. We continue to pray for his strength and for guidance in the next steps for him as well. We also offer prayer for Eric McGovern, who was sent to Cleveland Clinic for emergency surgery, and another tomorrow. He would be the spouse of a former co-worker of Jackie Porter. So we continue to uplift Eric and his family in prayer. And we also continue to reflect on the family of Barbara Wolf, who passed away last week. Prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope continue for Tiffany Swaldo's mother and for the rest of her family as they surround that family in prayer and support during this difficult time. Let us give thanks for Thanksgiving. As we celebrate, give God thanks for family, for the gift of fellowship, and for the gift of gratitude that so many of us get to feel this Thanksgiving season, and also for the many travel plans that people have during this season that everybody can get safely to and from where they are going. So let's take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious God, we come forward to you with humble hearts as we bow down to the King of Kings. We are so grateful that you are the ruler of our hearts, but we know that your leadership does not come from power, might, authority, or money, but it comes from your humility. You're willing to lay down your life for us. You're willing to be present with us. You're willing to care for us. So help each one of us remember that the best way to lead is to be a servant leader, to be willing to give more than we receive, especially as we think of this Thanksgiving season. Help us to be far more grateful than selfish. Help us to really reach out to those who could use our help. And gracious God, we uplift our prayers today for those who are sick, for those who are hurting, for those who just had surgeries, for those who are waiting procedures. Help each one of them rest and find comfort. We know many families will be grieving this Thanksgiving season. Different seats will be taken at Thanksgiving tables. But help each family know that whether someone is in the church triumphant or on your church here on earth, that they are cared for and they are loved, and that you, God, will not abandon us in any time or any place. So as we think of Reign of Christ Sunday, help us to be a world that comes together, that does not belong to specific tribes or groups or parties, but to one humanity, one world, one earth. For we know that you created us to work together, to pray together, and love one another together. So help us to take care of our world as each person is our neighbor, because you created them in your image. So every person we help is in the image of God. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson for today comes from Colossians 1st chapter, verses 11 through 20. Being strengthened with all his power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Of all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
Thank you, Rick. Our gospel today comes from the 23rd chapter of Luke, verses 33 to 43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leader scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There's also an inscription over him: "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence and condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time I invite the children to come forward for the children's chat. Careful, Aubrey. Laying it out. Come on up. Have a seat. Come on up. Reese Payton, you want to come up too? Come on up. So how's everybody doing today? Who is super excited for Thanksgiving? What's your favorite food on Thanksgiving? Reese, what's yours? Turkey? Mashed potatoes? Brandon, what's yours? Peyton? Mashed potatoes? Riley? I guess we're having a lot of mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving. Peyton? Ooh, turkey legs. Aubrey, what's yours? Mashed potatoes, those are a good one. Paige? Cranberry sauce. Ooh. All right, Brandon, one more. Turkey? Yep, that's a good one. So what we're going to talk about, hold on, Aubrey. We're going to talk about how Thanksgiving is a holiday where we express gratitude. And there's another important holiday coming up after Thanksgiving. I can't seem to remember what it is. Does anybody know what it is? Nick? Christmas. Christmas is going to be right around the corner. Who's already started working on their Christmas list already? Okay, you have? So procrastinators here. They're ready to rock and roll. That's okay. You got time yet. You're not even at Thanksgiving yet. Even though Christmas started in Halloween in some places. But that's a different sermon, folks. A different sermon. So what we're going to talk about, how for Thanksgiving, sometimes when we get focused on Christmas, who gets really excited about their Christmas list and starts getting so focused that you can't really think about some other things? I used to do that all the time. I'd be so focused on my Christmas list that I would forget some other awesome stuff that was happening. So that's why Thanksgiving is an important day, because it makes us think about gratitude. And we can have gratitude with our five senses. Does anybody know? Can anybody name our five senses? Paige?
Smell.
Taste, yep. That's okay, that's two. Nick, what do you got?
Sight,
yep. Touch. Perfect. Robin, were you going to add
something?
Taste, touch, yep, eyesight. So we're going to go through the five senses right now. We're going to talk about gratitude. So I want you to tell me one sound that you were grateful for this week. Anybody name a sound? Paige, what was the sound you were grateful for? Your teacher talking. Ooh, Aubrey. That's a good one. God talking to you. That's a good one. Rylan? Your mom saying that she loves you? Yep, that's a good one. Reese? That what? Me talking? Do I have money I can give this girl? Well, I like it, Reese. So that's a good one. What's another sound? Does anybody like the sound? Peyton, what's yours? Your cat meowing? Paige?
My dog barking.
Dog barking. That can be a blessing and a curse sometimes, right? Aubrey? Oh, thank you. That's two for me. Hey, I'll take it. But what else is another good sign? A school bell. Anybody like that sound at the end of the day when you get to go home? That's one of my favorites. So Madison gets an amen back there. All right. So what about taste? What's something you've tasted this week that you're grateful for? Peyton? Okay, that's good. Brandon? That's okay. Kyler? Food? Reese? Ooh, cookie. Paige?
Milk.
Aubrey, what's something you tasted? Pickles. Oh, okay. Rylan? Pizza. That's one of my favorites. I had bacon the other day. Let's do, okay. What about smells? What's a favorite smell you've had this week? Paige? Smell of cookies. Reese, what's yours? Ooh, that smells good. Tyler? Food? Brandon? Or, sorry, Peyton? Rylan? Air freshener. Aubrey? What about, I smelled bacon yesterday. We cooked up some BLTs. That was one of my favorite smells.
I know. The
smell of God. That's a good one. What about touch? Something you've touched this past week. Tyler? Did you say food? He's pretty consistent there. Peyton?
Me?
You? Okay. Reese?
Food?
Paige? Okay, your toy horsey. My dogs, when I pet them this week, that made me grateful. Rylan? Your family? Okay. Brandon? Yourself? Okay. God, okay. Well, what's our last one? What am I forgetting? Nick, which sense am I forgetting? Touch. Do we do touch?
Yeah.
Sight. What did you see this week that made you grateful? Tyler? I like it. Paige? Oh, okay. Gotcha. That makes sense. Reese, what's something you're grateful to touch? Ooh. Or, I'm sorry, we were talking about sight. My bad. Nick? Peyton, what's something you're grateful to see?
Water.
Water? Okay. Last one. Aubrey? God. That's good. And you know what? I'm grateful to see everybody in church right now, especially all of you. That makes my day when I get to spend time with you right here. So my challenge for you, as you get ready for Christmas, and you start thinking about your list, and you start thinking about, oh, I need this, and I want this, and I need this, and I would think about that every Christmas when I was a kid. And guess what I would need to do sometimes? I would need to take a step back, and I would need to be grateful. So when you have a hard time thinking about stuff to be grateful for, and you're only focused on things you want, think about those five senses and try to come up with one for each of your senses that you can be grateful for. Because gratitude is what unlocks love, and love is what makes Christmas so special for each one of us. Because without love, guess what? There would be no Christmas at all. So we got to make sure we love each other. Let's have a moment. We're going to get up and pray, and then you can grab one of your snacks. So let's get in a circle. Everybody grab somebody's hand. And let's pray together. Gracious God, I ask that you bless these kids, continue to instill gratitude and love within them, and make sure that those intangibles are on their Christmas list, to be loving, to be caring, and to be grateful. Please bless their school lives and bless their Thanksgivings together with their family, and that they may experience so much joy. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So go ahead and grab one of your snacks. I'll hold it for you so you don't have to dive. Job. You may remain seated as we join together for in song. Let us pray. Gracious God, I ask that you open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you have to say to us today, and that you inspire us to take these lessons and turn them into actions. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. So this is the last Sunday we get in the liturgical year before we begin our Advent journey to the Christ child. At first, I was a little confused at why the lectionary picked this passage from the crucifixion this Sunday. After all, this is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and talking about the crucifixion doesn't exactly give us those warm, grateful, fuzzy feelings. However, after further thought, I think this is the perfect passage for the Sunday before Advent, because we have to know why the birth of a Savior for the world matters. We have to know why it's so important, because Christmas only has a deep meaning because of Christ's ultimate sacrifice and Easter morning resurrection. And it's important for us to remember that, because we don't worship what I would call Ricky Bobby's version of Jesus. Do I have any Talladega Nights fans out there? Yeah, that's one of our favorite movies to watch in our household. But in Talladega Nights, the main character, Ricky Bobby, he has this image of Jesus that he shares, and he refuses to pray to any other Jesus except baby Jesus. So when he says a prayer, he'll say, "Dear infant baby Jesus, sitting in your cradle, looking so comfy and so cute, don't even know a word yet," that kind of Jesus. He will not pray to any Jesus. He will not pray to any Jesus except the infant Jesus. And for Ricky Bobby, he can't let Jesus leave the cradle. And there are many Christians who are like that. They will only come to church on Christmas, because a baby in a cradle doesn't challenge us. It doesn't push us. It doesn't make us think about how our actions reflect differently on other people. But that baby became a man, and that man became a Savior for the entire world. And Jesus preached a message that both challenged his disciples and his critics. He died so that all of us could live. And Christmas is always far more popular than Easter for that very reason, because baby Jesus doesn't confront us and challenge us. Baby Jesus just wants to be held closely. And the irony there is that's all the risen Savior wants too. All he asks is that we hold him close in our hearts. We don't have to cradle him, but we have to experience God close in our hearts. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, where are you holding Jesus this Christmas season? Where are you holding Jesus? Because we often see ourselves at the crucifixion scene kind of being back in the crowd somewhere. That's kind of where we often picture ourselves. But I want you to think differently. I want you to think about those two criminals sitting right next to Jesus that day, because there are two very different people and two very different personalities sitting next to Jesus. There's one criminal who is bitter and takes no responsibility for the sins that he was being punished for. And there was another criminal who, even in the midst of great suffering, who could see that Jesus was unjustly suffering for more than anyone else in the world for the sins of others. So which of these two people are you on next to Jesus? Are you the one who is selfish and upset and blames everything in the world on everyone else? Or are you the criminal that is humble, who even in the midst of the greatest suffering of their life can point to the Savior? Which one of those people are you? Because this is a lesson in the power of a positive attitude as well, the power of gratitude. Because Paul articulates the importance of staying grateful in the midst of suffering, just like the humble criminal did. In Colossians 1, 11 to 12, which Rick read for you, "May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light." Now, I want you to think about these words coming from the Apostle Paul about gratitude, because I learned this week in my research that two-thirds of the the Bible verses in the New Testament about thanksgiving come directly from the Apostle Paul. And what's fascinating about that is when you look at his epistles, many of them are written where? In jail cells, in prison. And it's this guy going through some difficult circumstances in his life who's the one who consistently talks about his life, about being thankful, about being grateful. For Paul, thanksgiving is not circumstantial. It's how he lives his life for God. And I think that's important for all of us to hold true. Because the true test of faith is often, can we remain grateful in the midst of hardship? Anyone can be faithful when they have the right lottery ticket, or everything's going the right way, or the Packers are going to the Super Bowl. Yeah, I'll squeeze that reference in there. Anybody, or the Browns, someday in the next 200 to 300 years, they'll get there. You never know. You never know. But it's important to remain grateful in the midst of hardship. And that's why Paul challenges us to make sure Jesus is at the center of our existence. And he's not just a friend out there on the fringe, but he is in the center of who we are, what we believe, what we stand for. And I think it's important for us to remember that. Because we don't realize it, but some of the best sermons we can preach with our lives are when we dedicate ourselves to God in the midst of a difficult moment in our lives. Some of the best sermons I've seen are from people who keep the faith after they got laid off at work. People who keep the faith after the doctor gives them a diagnosis that scares them. People who keep the faith even when the loss of a loved one is so difficult and will take years to recover from. Because it shows that when we can keep the faith, it shows that what we care about and what we believe in Jesus Christ, it's not just some type of superstition that gets us through the day, but that our faith in God is the most important thing we carry from one day to the next. So I know sometimes when we go through difficult circumstances, it's not a joyful experience. But remember, when you keep the faith, when you keep the strength, you are preaching the best, a more important sermon than I can ever give, because you're showing why your faith matters. And gratitude is powerful in all circumstances. Author Melanie Beatty said, "Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos into order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, and a stranger into a friend." Gratitude has the power to unlock all those things. A meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. And that's why I asked you for our Q&A question today. What are you thankful for? And we look at all these different things that we can be thankful for. The church. I'm thankful for all the people that we have here today, making an impact on one another, caring for one another, loving for one another. The life I lead. Think about how important it is to be thankful for not just the big picture, but every single day. I know people who wake up with the attitude every day that they wake up, they're grateful for that day. And when you start your day centered in gratitude, it's amazing how much more positive and uplifting it can be. Our health, that's one we often take for granted until we do get that call from the doctor or something doesn't feel right, especially when the cold and flu season starts coming around here. I think this is Tyler's pick right here. Food? No? But food. Very grateful for that. Supporting friends and family. Family is on here quite a bit. And I think about what a blessing it is. I think about the fact that sometimes Emily and I are both 400 miles apart from our families. I got my family in Wisconsin, and she's got her family in Pennsylvania. But I think about what a blessing it is that we have opportunities to celebrate Thanksgiving if we chose in three different states we would be welcome in. How blessed we are to have friends and family all around us, whether it be in Wisconsin, whether it be right here in Ohio, or whether it be in Pennsylvania, people caring for us and loving for us. And school, I know school and work, those are ones we don't often think of, but school, You wrote school? That's a good one. That's a good one to be grateful for. Because it's one of those things we think is so dumb when we're going through it, but we don't realize the value of it. In fact, I just met Michael and Cece Tesh. They're coming to speak at Dover this Sunday. They run the Ray of Hope orphanage in Kenya. They have 150 students in that orphanage. And they're telling me that they just got done through a big period of stress because all of their eighth graders all had to take tests in Kenya to see if they could qualify for high school. Because if you don't get a C on this test, you don't get to go to high school in Kenya. And I think about what a gift that our kids know that no matter what, they get to go to ninth grade or 10th grade, no matter how hard they work. And I think about how hard a 14-year-old Kenyan kid has to work to go through school to have that gift. I did not put the Green Bay Packers, but I'm just delighted to see that they're up here. I guess I'm thankful for the fact that our players keep their helmets on their heads in Green Bay. I think about the opportunity of football games over Thanksgiving weekend, whether you're playing a family game or something like that, or you're just sitting together and watching a game. Because I think about our family growing up, every Sunday, as soon as church got over, we'd get together for those 3 or 4 hours, and that wouldn't just be a time to watch the game, but a time to hang out, to check in with one another. And those are opportunities I've certainly missed as I've moved away, but still stay connected to. But think about those small things in your family life. Whether it's a football game, maybe you're a card-playing family, maybe you're a movie-watching family. Maybe you just sit together on Saturday night and you find your Netflix movie, you go through the list and you have the kids pick out, or I guess it's Disney Plus now that these past 2 weeks, but they pick out whatever movie. And don't take those, what's the movie you would watch? What's your favorite Disney movies? How about Elf? Christmas season coming around? Yeah, that's one of my favorites too. But a lot of opportunities there, and I want you to think about that. Even donuts, those small things in the morning. Think about that cup of coffee or two exclamation points for the smiley face there. So, hey, represent it. And think about those small ways you can treat yourself throughout the week. Because those small gifts make us appreciate the life that we have been given every single day. Some of those things seem so small, but when we think about it, they can be so important and so special for us. And author Elise Walker said, "Thank you is the best prayer that anybody could say." Those two words, thank you. Because the more we say thank you, the more we become like the humble criminal who truly appreciates what Jesus is sacrificing on the cross. Because in that moment, that criminal is one of the few people in Scripture who really sees Jesus for what he is. Not just a man with a message, but a Messiah. He truly sees Jesus for who he is. And gratitude for what Jesus has done is what takes us from being those faraway bystanders in the background to the people who are sitting right next to the risen Savior. So often we think that in order to live an authentic faith, we got to have that 15-minute sermon in our back pocket about what God is doing in our world. You don't need that at all. When you think about being an authentic person, a grateful Christian, I want you to think about having those two words on your lips every single day and in every prayer you give. Just two words. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, church. Thank you for everything I get in this world. Because with those two worlds, we have the power to unlock something special. Because gratitude for God is something we should experience every single day. And you don't need a doctorate in education or anything else to be able to say those two words. Anybody has the ability to say thank you. But the more we say it, the better we feel. And that's why those two words are so powerful and so important that we tell God about it in prayer. So as you think about your Thanksgiving table this week, remember to lead with those two words. Thank you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we just want to say thank you for the life that we have been given, for every day, for every breath, for every opportunity. We are so grateful. Help us to pay attention to the little things this Thanksgiving, whether it's the family game or just the fellowship at the table. Help us to appreciate what we have been given. Because every single day we have something to be grateful for, something to praise you for, and something to carry in our hearts to share with one another. So help us to remember those two words. Excuse me. Thank you so much for all that you have done. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for teaching us how to live. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You remain standing for our final hymn. I should say, you can please rise for our final hymn. Sorry. Don't forget to join us for our Advent workshop immediately following worship. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.